Good afternoon, Wrangell. You're listening to Talk on the Rock, your local live call-in show. The time is now. We have our guest Vivian Prescott on the line, and she is a poet from Wrangell, and her work is widely known throughout the region. We'll discuss her own work and the power of personal creativity. So, you can give us a ring at 874-2345 if you have any question. And Vivian, thank you so much for calling in today.
Thank you for having me.
All right, you sound great. So let's just start off with your new collection of poetry. It's titled Silty Water People. It has about 50 pretty short poems in there. Just tell me a little bit about this collection of poetry. Anything you would like to say about it?
Well, it's a lot of Wrangell-themed poetry, and growing up in Wrangell, raising kids in Wrangell, so that's probably the central theme, other than the Silty River themes in there.
Absolutely, yeah. And thank you for dropping off a copy for KSTK. And yeah, I really, you know, Wrangell is a very prominent theme. It's very nostalgic. You know, you talk about your own childhood. You talk about your kids growing up. Yeah, and I really recommend this book to anybody who's looking to get into some poetry. You know, the prose is very easy to digest. Yeah, anything else you would like to say about this collection of yours?
Well, it's dedicated to my children, so they're often the subject matter, so I hope they don't mind.
You hope they don't mind, yeah.
Yeah, it's too late to mind. Sorry, Nika, Brianne, Mitch, and Vivian Jr.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, what were some of your experiences as motherhood that you really dive into in this collection?
Well, mostly it's identity, and their identity of being part Tlingit, part Sami, different Scandinavian ethnicities, and living in Wrangell, growing up in a small town, isolated island. Obviously, those are issues. So it's more personal, but also when you read it, know that the I in the poem is not necessarily me. And so there's poems that I might have taken on a persona.
Okay, absolutely. What kind of personas?
Well, it might be even the persona of my children from their perspective, things like that, or from an imaginary fictional person's perspective, things like that, where I'm maybe issuing, dealing with a topic that might be difficult. I might become a bear, for example.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool, Viv. So, yes, so you've got Silty Water People. This was released just a few months ago by Cirque Press. And we can talk more about it towards the end. But, you know, I definitely wanted to spend most of our time here talking about the power of being creative. And what we spoke, I don't know, maybe a month ago, probably about your poetry collection. And I was asking you just, you know, how has your life been since COVID-19 and having to isolate more and find things to do on your own? And you said, well, in a way, it's actually kind of the same. You know, I'm an artist and I live out at my fish camp. Just tell me why you said that, in a way my life looks pretty similar. It hasn't changed that much.
Yeah, I live intentionally. I moved back home to Wrangell to live intentionally a quieter life, more solitude, but at the same time, more in nature, harvesting from the land, things like that. So that's what I'm doing now. So when we're supposed to be sheltering in place, thank God we could still go out and go in our boat and go places, hike, things like that. So I'm still doing the same kind of things, but obviously it's a mental issues too, of not being able to go places or do things with your family. And I have a lot of family here in town. So the hardest part, especially since spring is here, is dealing with not being able to hang out with my grandkids or my daughters, going harvesting or fishing, and having them over for meals was always important. But we're keeping a pretty strict family unit with just my 80-year-old, soon to be 80-year-old father, my husband, and myself. So we're not having any contact with anybody.
Right on. Exactly. Yeah. So you're missing out on that connection. But it sounds like you're still video chatting with all those people and playing games.
Yeah, we do have a family game night with family around the country every Friday night. And we used to hold game night in person at my daughter Brianne's and her husband Nick's house. And we don't do that anymore. So, but we try to, my dad and I actually play games every afternoon. So we alternate between the game Sequence and 10,000. So we're going to be really good at those games eventually.
Right on. I love 10,000. Okay. And then, you know, have you been riding any more or less since you've been holed up?
Surprisingly, I used to brag that I could write under any circumstances, but I don't think that's true anymore, because I found myself having trouble concentrating, you know, going through certain things like, I guess they're probably symptoms of grief or loneliness, things like that, is even though this is my life, it's just, it's been really hard to concentrate. So mostly concentration has been an issue of sitting down and writing new poetry, although I did write a pretty long new poem at the beginning of the sheltering in place. But most of my other poems are coming in spurts, and they're newer poems and shorter. So I think they're going to be something else eventually. So instead of writing, what I usually do is try reading, because I have lots and lots of volumes of other people's poetry. So I read poetry and read fiction too, and plus doing a little bit of my collage art. So that's been helping.
Right on. Absolutely. Thank you for that. So I was wondering at this point if you could read a isolation or COVID-19 inspired poetry piece.
I will. I'll read you the poem. It's a little bit longer, but it's a poem that I wrote at the first part of probably March, and we were sheltering in place at the time. And it's called A Field Guide to Hope. Look, bright yellow stalks emerge from warm muck. I bend to inhale their familiar scent. Behold, an old man is ambling down the hospital hallway, masked, gloved, and gowned, while nurses and doctors applaud his slow return to the world. My feet press the dry roadside grass, and I step over the ditch, see the red branches on the blueberry bushes, note a bud's first pink blush. Look, we peer out the narrow window at our daughters and grandchildren, holding signs. We miss you, we love you, rainbows and hearts, and I try not to weep. Today and every morning for days now, with wing sound and honk, a pair of Canada geese fly by our porch. We've named them after our airline flights. There goes Flight 64 and 65. Look, the young woman and her quilting guild sew 1,000 cloth masks, and a grown daughter sits outside a care home in a flower bed, talking to her mother through window glass. See the man in his shop fabricating a face shield. See the family dancing and drumming on a dock next to the ocean. See the stranger dropping a box of groceries off on a porch. A nurse aide brings water to a bedside. See the mailman opening the street side mailbox, placing a letter. There's a purple bud on the Devil's Club, and fat robins flit around the neighbor's grass near the outdoor rabbit pen. And around the corner comes a parade of elementary school teachers, each in their own sign-draped cars, beeping horns, waving, cheered by students and parents on the side of the road. After days of herring snow and a few more days of sunshine, the popweed plumps up on the beach. Everything is ripening, and my elderly father sighs, "We're used to living with the tide coming in and going out. We're patient people. We can do this."
Thank you for that piece, Vivian. So, yeah, you go through a lot of different scenes. You know, one scene to the next is very different. There's very different characters. Why did you want to do that?
Well, because it's really was for myself like a field guide, which is, if you know what a field guide is a book where you open up and you're going to go out, for example, and identify all the different types of birds. There'll be a photograph and then a short description. So that's kind of what I wanted is hope. As spring was coming, where can I find hope and proof that life is going to go on or things are going to evolve and change, but then some assurance that things are the same. So that's what I looked for in this poem was the hope, you know, the news article about the old man who he was, I think, in his 90s, and he was getting out of the hospital. And that image stayed with me. So there's images from the media in with images from my own life, like my children showed up holding signs out at the end of the driveway with the grandchildren too. So that was very heart-wrenching, of course, but I wanted that in there, and that people were, locals were making masks and things like that.
Yeah, right on. Thank you so much for reading that poem, Vivian. So I think at this point, I would love for us to just talk more about being creative. You know, even though things are relaxing here in Wrangell and in Alaska, people are able to do more than they were in March. You know, there's still many activities that people cannot do. There's still many events that people will not be able to participate in. But one thing that people certainly can do, and it can be very cathartic and productive and engaging, is being creative, whether that's writing or something else. So maybe just tell me a little bit about, you know, what's the value for you of being creative, whether it is writing or your collage work that you're doing now?
Well, for me, art is medicinal, therapeutic. And I think that making art is an act of creation, but usually it's something that you enjoy yourself first, and then there's an act of sharing with others. And I think collage is one way of doing that, but there's also other mediums. But you have to realize that when you make something, often someone else, when they share it, it takes on a whole new life, because even if you say you aren't an artist, you participate in art because you're reading a good book or listening to a good book on audio. That was written by someone. That's art. You're watching a movie. Someone wrote that screenplay and put a lot of work into the editing and the acting. That's all art. You are a participant. Same thing with listening to the music on the radio. The discovery of that or enjoying that, that's, you are part of that art. And so it doesn't just stop at the finished product. It's something that lives on, and it's in every aspect of our culture.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much. You know, I really feel for artists right now, and especially performing artists, because, you know, every one of us seems like we're even more engaged in our movies, in our television shows, in our podcasts right now. And it's hard to think about that, how important those people are. And that those are some of the last people that will get back to work and get back to creating things that we really enjoy. And like you said, we participate in just by consuming. So if someone is, you know, knows that they are creative and has been creative in the past, but, you know, maybe hasn't been so lately, what are some tips for or advice for getting back in the game?
Well, I think that some of local artists have actually been doing that. Nicole Taylor, who does Nicky Knacks, she's a sculptor. She jumped right in and started making really beautiful masks for the community. And she wasn't sculpting, but making these masks. So in a sense, she's using the same parts of her brain and the same creativity. And she was putting them down at the end of her driveway on the little shed and gifting them to people. And I've got one of the masks for myself in case I had to go out, but they're a work of art. And Maya DeLong, I call her my floral artist because she really is an artist, but she went and put all those flowers and did a basically it's a staged community piece, whether it's a performance piece, and I think she had help, but she put all the flowers on the Wrangell log. And so there's people that are doing things even though they don't necessarily have what they had before. Brenda Schwartz, she was posting a sketch journal on her Facebook page, and here she is with faced with loss of revenue for her art because of the tour industry. And then Arlene Berge Woodward, she is a photographer, so she keeps reminding me by just taking her pictures that she's still doing what she's doing. And so she documents nature and things around town and stuff like that. So art keeps going, but it changes, and these artists are adapting.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for naming all of those people, and the variety of art forms that they create. Yeah, and it's good to know that these folks are, like you said, the art form is changing slightly, but if there is a need to create art, and there really always is, that those artists will keep going. Yeah, can you speak a little bit more to, you know, you mentioned that you're having a hard time with concentration right now. What are some things that you feel keep people from creating art that they need to overcome?
Well, obviously, if you have kids at home, everything you know goes out the window because there's no school and no activities. Maybe it'll free up a little more now, but I really think I have an advantage because I don't have kids at home. So I've seen the struggles that my children did with trying to work with the computers and getting their kids' homework done and doing things like that. So I tried to stay a little bit involved with my grandkids doing that, but that's really hard, I think, to have kids at home and try to practice your art. So I think the best way is to incorporate your art into something to do with the kids. You know, take them out to do activities, and they can press flowers in a notebook or something like that, sketching with them, doing things with them. Collage work is something that you can really do. Found poetry, you can do that with kids. So I think it's basically just being more adaptable.
Yeah, thank you. And Vivian, you said that you had prepare a little something for us as far as a prompt or something that we can kind of put in the back of our minds to get us creating. Let's get to that.
Well, I think the prompt, because I love collage and I like old fashioned collage where you just take magazines or things like that and cut them out, old cards, whatever. And then you can write a poem and put that on the collage. But collage itself is an art, whether you put I put words on mine, poetry. But I think that collage, you can get found objects. For example, you can go out and get all the different things that are blooming right now and just lay them on. I use old boards, but you can use paper, cardboard, anything. And you can use rocks, whatever you want, and lay them on it. And you're going to make a three-dimensional collage. Now you can take any kind of smartphone or even a digital camera and take a photograph of your finished collage, and it can have words on it. So it can be poetry. You can put someone else's poem if you give them credit, or you can, you know, print off your own words and put them on there. Or it doesn't even have to have words. It could be just your collage, but it would be interesting to see what people come up for their collage art. You can have anything. You can even have stuff you found, for example, in your kitchen or your stuff outside, whatever. Go on a scavenger hunt with a list even and make a collage. There's many things you can do to make collage, but I really like the idea of a three-dimensional collage that's photographed. And iPhones and Samsung phones do a great job at taking pictures now. So this is something kids can do and adults can do.
Yeah, thank you, Vivian. So I love that prompt. And anybody out there in the listening public, you know, if you end up making your collage and you want to, you know, post it, you want to take a photograph and send it out there to the world, KSTK, we would love to put those on our website or just post them on Facebook, share them around. I love the idea of collage. It's one of my favorite art forms, but I've never really thought of collage as putting a flower or a rock or something like that in collage. So that's getting me thinking a little differently. So Vivian, anything else that you would like to say, either about your collection or collage or anything else before we head out?
Well, I'll read you one of my unfinished poems. How about that?
That would be awesome.
I have two subjects here, or three that I'm actually writing about. And one is masks and unmasks. The other subject is gaslights are burning bright on social media. So it's basically what goes on social media. That's not always a fun subject. And then the other one is air hugs, because my grandchildren and I started giving each other air hugs, and my children too. So I'll read you first one call from the mask unmask section. This one is not finished, but it's mask unmask. 92-year-old Wrangell elder socially weeps. She wore a mask downtown for 2,400 islanders, and no one wore one for her. So that's a poem in the works. It'll probably change. And the ones on the subject of air hugs, I'll probably have a lot of those haikus, but this one is, grandson's open arms catch alder pollen and rain, sighs embrace me. And anyway, those are some that I'm working on.
Yeah, these are both beautiful, and both are kind of sad. They're both represent, you know, the good and the caring in people, and also the lacking. Do you feel like that's both of those themes are in a lot of the poems right now?
I think so, because obviously this is something that the pandemic is something that we're all going through together, but in very different ways. So I'll probably reflect that in the poem, show the differences and the similarities, because obviously air hugs are good, but they're also kind of sad, but they can be funny too, because we are a family that, for example, does one-armed hugs. We're like Norwegian, so we don't exactly embrace you with two arms, so it's one-arm hugs. And so we've been giving each other one-armed air hugs from my porch to my driveway, so it's probably like 50 feet we're away from each other, grandkids. And so I make them give me the traditional family one-arm hug also.
Wow. Yeah, I'm visualizing that right now, a one-arm hug. Cool. Well, Vivian, thank you so much for coming on air, as always. And everybody out there, if you make your collage, go ahead and snap a photo of it and share it with folks in Wrangell and share it with KSTK and Vivian. We would love to see that.
And yes, please make them.
Yeah, definitely. And before we go, Vivian's new collection is Silty Water People. And Vivian, how can we get that book if we would like it?
It's Cirque sells the books through Amazon, but Amazon does take a long time. And I do have some copies at my home too. So I have for a few local buyers signed the copies and left them in my car for like a safe exchange. So they're able to leave money in my car and pick up the book. So that's one option too, other than Amazon. And usually 56 North sells my books too. So I think they'll be picking them up pretty soon.
Very cool. Okay. Well, Vivian, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Thank you for having me.
Okay. Take care.
Bye.
All right, the time is 1:27. We were just on the line with Vivian Faith Prescott. She is your local poet and a name known throughout Alaska. So she said, everybody, you know, if you want to try something out, make a collage. I love collage. I'm big into collages, and I've never thought of putting a flower on a collage, but that gets me thinking, hey, I can go out into nature and pick up my collage materials there, free of charge. So we will be back next week with another guest. See you then.